I've got a question for you. If you had the choice to lose either an arm or a leg, what? Did I print off the wrong one?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't. You see, it is the same one as last week. The week before we met. But you might think, why on earth would you use the same sort of introduction? Was I lazy? No. Well, maybe. But you picked up on it straight away. Why would I use it twice? Well, whenever you want to do something, you want to capture the people's attention at the beginning of a sermon, don't you? And I reckon it's already captured your attention. But think about it here for a minute. What about Mark here in the Bible? Mark here has an opportunity to tell us another story about Jesus, about all the miraculous things that he did. Yet here Mark goes and tells us a very similar story to that which he told back in Mark chapter 6. Now in Mark chapter 6, he was feeding another large crowd of people. And we could see many similarities between the two things. This time we have 4,000 men in Mark 6, 5,000. 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. Last time, who remembers? 5 loaves, 2 fish. After everyone had their fill, everyone was satisfied in both of the stories. The disciples at the end of this story picked up 7 basketfuls of leftovers. Feeding 5,000, they picked up 12. So why then does Mark include these two stories that seem basically identical? You think he might go and use different stories to tell us something different about Jesus? Well, as we look at the two stories, what we need to actually do is think, well, what's different about the two of them and not what is actually the same? And if we look back at in Mark chapter 6, the key difference between these two is that in Mark 6, Jesus and his followers were predominantly in a Jewish area. But now, Jesus has moved from a Jewish area into a Gentile area. Now, the Jews were God's chosen people. The Gentiles, the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with, and they were seen as dirty and unclean, as we've seen already in Mark's gospel. Now, it's from here that Jesus, though, is trying to teach his disciples and us an important lesson. He's actually wanting to show his disciples who he really is, that he is, in fact, the Savior of the whole world, not just the Savior of the Jews. So let's have a look at the passage and see what it is saying for us tonight. Join with me, Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus calls his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." You see, already in Mark's gospel, we can see clearly that Jesus is a really compassionate type of a bloke. There's no different here, though. Jesus shows these people who were not his sort, they weren't the Jews, but he still treats them in the same way. He shows them the same love that he's been showing the Jews. He shows them the same compassion and care that he's been showing the Jewish people. He doesn't care that they're Gentiles. He still shows them that same love and care. And he cares for them so much that they are actually that hungry that he says, "I don't want to send them home. Well, I don't want to send them home. They might collapse on the way." So it's the same love that he has for both of these people. The interesting thing is, though, we still have the same reaction from the disciples and the crowd. Let's have a look at the reaction of the disciples, though. You see, you would think that as they've come again to this point, the disciples might think back and think, well, hang on a minute. You know, Jesus, you fed that other crowd, that 5,000 odd people. Why don't you just do another miracle like that again? Now, maybe they have short-term memories. Maybe they don't remember back that far. But they say then to Jesus in verse 4, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" They actually think it's impossible to feed a crowd such as this, because they still don't see who Jesus is. They don't realize his power. They don't realize why Jesus has actually come. But Jesus goes on then to feed the crowd. He asks his disciples, how many loaves do you have? They say seven. Tells the crowd to sit down, takes the seven loaves, gives thanks, breaks them, gives them to the disciples, and they distribute it. Had a few small fish, gave thanks for that as well, and distributed it. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't really compare that sort of eating to anything. I mean, when my family, the Riley family, extended family all gets together, there's seven adults and nine kids. And I've got to tell you, we need more food than seven loaves and two fish to feed all of us. And I can say the same thing probably for you guys. I mean, even here tonight, we had more than seven loaves and two fish. Yet I'm pretty sure most of it all got eaten. But have a think then about the reaction of the crowd. Once again, it was the same reaction as they had last time. Have a look there in verse 8. The people ate and were satisfied. They're happy. They've been fed. Their stomachs are happy. Don't need to worry about anything else. They're even happy to leave at the end when Jesus just sends them away. These sort of people, they liked the miracle that they had just seen. And I'm sure, you know, they would have been a bit amazed by it. But like the disciples, they didn't see Jesus for who he really was. It didn't occur to them that, no, hang on a minute, this guy has just fed a huge amount of people with hardly anything. There's got to be something more to this guy. I'm going to check this guy out more. I'm going to go and ask him some more questions. See, I don't know how you would react if that happened to us, for you. You had all your relatives together and someone came along and just fed with seven loaves and a couple of fish. You might think that it might be some sort of magic trick. And I like magic tricks. I like the show. It's called Penn and Teller, Fool Us. I don't know if any of you have seen that. What basically happens is that a magician comes onto stage. Penn and Teller, some really good magicians, are sitting there in the crowd and they're watching. They don't have any extra camera angles or anything like that to watch the person doing the trick. And as they do this, they're trying to figure out what the person is doing. And the person on the stage is actually trying to fool Penn and Teller. If they indeed fool Penn and Teller, they get to go to Vegas and perform the show in front of Vegas, people in Vegas, and that's going to promote them, and then hopefully they'll be magicians for a lot longer. But you see, can you imagine then, if Jesus was up there on the stage in front of Penn and Teller, and he goes, right, I'm going to feed the crowd. Give me some loaves, give me some fish, and distributes it to the whole crowd and the whole audience. Penn and Teller, I can imagine, would be sitting there going, got no idea. Got no idea how he did it. But I guarantee you they would want to ask him after the show, tell us how you did it. I want to know, like, that's a great trick. How did you do it? But it's no magic trick. It's because Jesus is God, and therefore he can do it. And he has the power to do it. But all of this crowd, they didn't realize that. And they didn't follow Jesus. And instead, they just went on their way back home. You see, neither the crowd nor the disciples had in fact understood who Jesus was. And what they all needed was a miracle of their own that would work in their hearts, open their minds to understand who Jesus truly was. And that's reflected a bit again in the Pharisees as they question Jesus. They haven't understood who Jesus was. And their hearts as well were hardened. You see, the Pharisees say to Jesus, we want a sign from heaven. And even though he's done so many things that only God could do, he's calmed the waves, the storm, he's fed so many people, he's healed so many people, they still don't see it and they don't accept that Jesus is in fact God's son. These Pharisees, they also need the same miracle that the crowd and the disciples need. They need their hearts to be softened and willing to accept Jesus for who he actually says he is. So Jesus then leaves the Pharisees, he gets in a boat. And I think in the boat he's thinking about these Pharisees a bit. And then he says to his disciples there in verse 15, he says, be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Now, the disciples, they're a bit confused once again, and they think Jesus is actually talking about bread. They discussed with each other in verse 16 and said, is it because we have no bread? But it's not it at all. Jesus was trying to tell them in a simple way that they need to watch out for the Pharisees and warn them not to become like them. Jesus didn't want his disciples to have hard hearts as the Pharisees did. See, as a small amount of yeast goes on to infect a whole bread to make it work through, and as you knead it all through the bread, so if you spend time around someone, they will then start to influence you and change you. You know, I'll guarantee every single one of you got influenced by your parents as you grew up. You get influenced by people that you hang around with. I think even now, after almost 13 years of marriage, I've been influenced by my wife and the way she thinks a bit. My parents have still influenced me as well, obviously, but there's still that influence coming through. And it's the same for Jesus and his disciples. If they spend time around these Pharisees, then they also may get infected by them and influenced by them, and their hearts may continue to be hardened. The disciples, though, once again, they didn't understand. So Jesus goes on to ask them a series of quick-fire questions there in verses 17 to 19. He says, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls or pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7. Do you still not understand? Can you imagine his frustration? You see, the fact is they did remember these things. They remembered the fact that they had fed 5,000, that Jesus had fed 4,000. But they still didn't learn the lesson. They still didn't realize who Jesus was. So Jesus asked them, do you still not understand? And they still didn't. They had ears, they had eyes, but they failed to hear and failed to see who Jesus was. Even though they'd seen so much of what Jesus had done, they'd heard all the things that he had done. They could even remember all of these different things. But it didn't change them, for they still didn't understand. Their hearts were still hard, and they needed a miracle of their own. Then what about you? How do you react to Jesus? You see, even though we can find out so much about Jesus in our Bibles, have you still maybe missed who Jesus really is? Have you, like the disciples, been around Jesus for so long, they've just forgotten about the things that you learn about, and none of it really changes your life? Have you just been a part of church for so long, you've been coming along, you've heard it all over and over again, from Sunday school through youth group, coming into church for yourself, and you hear a story and you go, oh yeah, heard that one before, and forget about it all? Do they stories just wash over you without even changing you? Do our hearts need to be changed? Maybe you need to ask yourself, does my heart need to be changed? Because I can't answer that question. But I know I can relate to this. Because this was me all over. As I was growing up, I knew Jesus. Born into a Christian family, I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I went to youth group. You know, youth group comes up, quiz comes up. Yeah, I know the answers. I know the answer. Yep. I remembered all the different Bible stories, but it didn't change me. My heart was still hard towards Jesus. I hadn't really understood who Jesus was. I wasn't living my life the way he wanted me to. I didn't really understand Jesus until he changed my heart. And only he can do it. You see, even tonight, we can see if Jesus is having an effect on you. Have a think back to our first story. See, Jesus clearly shows in that first story, and he's showing it to everyone, that he cares not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. He cares for everyone. So what about you? Is that reflected in your life? Do we show that same care and compassion that we show for our family and friends as we do maybe to a homeless person who's living under the bridge downtown or someone on the park bench? Do we show that same care and concern for people who are different to us? Maybe it's because they don't live in the same state as us. Maybe they're Queenslanders. Maybe they're from America. Maybe if they're really different to us. Maybe if they like the Roosters instead of the Eels. Do we show favoritism though? Or do we do as Jesus does and show care, concern and compassion for all people? For those hard to get along with people. For those people who aren't like us. For those people who aren't Christians. You see, Jesus cares about every person. We need to care about every person. Jesus cares for the people that you don't like. Jesus cares for the people that you don't get along with. People cares for those people who you would rather avoid. We have to be like Jesus and care for everyone. And by doing this, it's going to show that Jesus has indeed worked a miracle in our lives, that he has changed our hearts to one that seeks his will to be done. So I've got a question for you on your tables tonight. I could go on and give you a couple of examples, and I've got a couple written down. But I want you guys to do a bit of hard work right now. How might this care, concern for others, not just the friends and families that we enjoy helping out and everything else, but what about the people that you don't get along with? What about all those other people that I've already described? How can you show this care and concern this week? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes on your tables to discuss that. I'll come up, hear some of your suggestions, and then I'll offer some of my own for you. Go for it. I'll give you a couple of minutes. Also have a think. Hang on a sec, just a minute. If I can grab everyone's attention just for a minute. Also have a think about further afield as well. Don't just think right here in Narrabri. I think, how else can I have an influence maybe throughout Australia or throughout the world? Think big picture as well as right here in Narrabri. I'll give you one more minute. Okay. Wrap up your conversations there. I'm wondering if I can hear some suggestions from the tables. Any suggestions? Unless you just spent the last 3 minutes talking about the weather, which I hope you didn't. Patience. Would you like to expand upon that? Yep, show a bit of patience towards people that are hard to get along with. It's very true. As God, we ask God for things, he's going to give us not the patience, but an opportunity to show and to be patient. So, yeah. Anything else? Yep. Prayer is always good for every situation. Anything from this table? Yep. Don't judge people. What about something from the back table? Okay. Anything from this table? Yep. So there's tier catalogs, compassion catalogs. So instead of buying Christmas presents or whatever, you can buy Wells, donkeys, chickens, education, and so forth. Here's some of the things that I came up with as well. Operation Christmas Child that we just did recently here at church is another great way to show our care and compassion for people that we don't even know. However, here was some. School. A number of you go to school, so listen up carefully for this one. Someone is being teased or bullied. Go and stand up with them and support them. You may not actually be involved in the teasing, but so often we just sort of see someone being teased and we just go, oh, I'm just going to walk away. Maybe this time instead, go and support them and do something about it. Maybe you're in your workplace. Whatever the situation might be there, but offer to go above and beyond what you might usually do for someone. You always have what's expected of you, but maybe you go that extra little extra distance and say, well, yeah, I don't mind, you know, pulling an extra shift, or I don't mind having to work through lunch if that's going to help you guys out. That's fine. Maybe you do. Maybe you're out late one night and you see someone who is around and looks a bit hungry. Maybe they're in need. Maybe they're crying. Something as simple as that. That could be either someone at school. Someone might have forgotten their lunch. Someone around town. Why not just go and talk to them? You know? Be with them. Ask them how they're going. Ask them if you can actually help in any way. The further one that I had was when we are thinking further afield. I've had someone, a friend of mine, who's gone above and beyond. What she's actually done is she's set up a business that sells jewelry from all across the world. It's jewelry that's actually made from people that have been caught up in sex trafficking and things like that. She buys that jewelry, brings it across to Australia, and then sells it. Once she's sold it, all the profits that she makes, she sends back over to the countries, to Cambodia, to give to organisations working with sex trafficking victims. Okay? Showing care and compassion to other people. That's called Bluebird Accessories, if you're interested. I can try and find it. I haven't found a website. It was just on a Facebook page, but I can give you that as well. So there's many different ideas. Think about what you can actually put into action this week. Even just one thing that continues to show this care and compassion that Jesus had for all people, and put it into practice this week. Let me pray. Our great and loving God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he was caring, compassionate towards all people. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to show that same care and compassion this week in our lives as we seek to serve and to love you. Amen.